Shvius, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, 2:1. In the previous perek, we discussed a stay ilan, a field that's planted with trees, an orchard, and that one could plow it all the way up to Atzeres. That was the exception, but the rule is that most fields are not planted with trees that conform to the requirements of the previous perek, and therefore they're called just a stay halavan, which means literally a white field, either because there are no trees, they're casting dark shadows, or because in Israel, in the summertime, those fields get blanched and turn, you know, like a off-white color when they're growing their grains or whatever it is. Whatever the case, the Mishnah here says, Ad emasai chorshin b'stei halavan. Until when may one plow in a field other than a qualified stei ilan? Er shvius, in the year prior to shvius, meaning the sixth year. Ad shtichla halecha. The answer is until the moisture is depleted from the topsoil. Now, just to remind you, we're learning the halachas of Tosefes Shvius, the requirement to add on to Shvius into the sixth year. Now, really, Midoraisa, you only, even according to Rabbi Akiva, or according to the halacha like Rabbi Yishmael in the time of the Beis Mikdash stands, that only pushes back 30 days into the sixth year, meaning starting from Rosh Chodesh El, 30 days to go till Rosh Hashanah. But we have a rabbinic requirement to stop plowing earlier in the year of the sixth year, because there's no reason to be plowing if it isn't a benefit to your current crops. If you're not planting something now or benefiting something that's growing now, so the only reason to be plowing is if you're preparing the ground for future crops. Since you can't have future crops in the seventh year, so then it ostensibly, you're doing something improper. And therefore, the rabbi said, don't even look like you're doing something improper. You may not till your soil once there's no benefit to what's growing in the field now or to plant something now. So that being the case, the Mishnah says, at least the Tanakhama says, as long as there's moisture in the ground and the ground is soft, you could still till it because you could plant something there. Once the moisture in the topsoil has gone away and it's now dry and hard, there's no point in tilling anymore because no point in planting anymore. And that being the case, there'd be no justification for tilling or plowing the soil other than prep for next year, which would be forbidden, and therefore you can't do it anymore. The Mishnah says, therefore, Kol zman shebnei adam chorshmin, so long as there are other people in the neighborhood that are chorshin, that are plowing themselves, lita b'mishkaos uvamidlaos, and they are intending to plant, they're doing their tilling of the soil because they want to plant kishuim. Kishuim are melons or cucumbers, and deluim are gourds. Those are summer fruits planted in the end of the spring. So if anyone in the surrounding area is still tilling their soil because they're planting melons and or gourds, you can till, because if someone sees you tilling your soil, they'll just assume you too are readying the soil to plant gourds or melons. The actual words mikshaos and midlaos is a little strange. Again, mikshaos from the word like kishu, like kishuim are melons, like I said, or cucumbers. So according to the Rambam, mikshaos is the name of the area where you plant kishuim. That's called a miksha. And same with the midlaos, it's a place that deluim, gourds, are planted. Rashi has an explanation elsewhere that it's referring to the plants. The mikshaos are the plants that grow the kishuim, and midlaos are the plants that grow the diluim, and therefore it would make grammatical sense. You're not planting a melon, you're planting a melon plant, and that's why it's called mikshot, etc. Whatever the case, the Tanakhama holds that as long as there's moisture in the ground and it makes sense to plant the last of the crops that are planted in late spring, and that will be kishuim and diluim, you too can till your soil regardless of whether or not you actually intend to plant kishuim or diluim, because no one will think it's strange because other people are doing it, and it's normal. I'm Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon objects this. Reb Shimon says, if you set the halacha up this way, Nesata Torah is called Echad ve'Echad biyado. You've given everyone the authority to arbitrate Torah for themselves. You've made like Ki'ilu as if it were many different Torahs. Everyone is sort of subject to their own interpretation when they think it's appropriate to stop, based on what they see is going on around them, and they ascertain it and such. That is unacceptable. We don't want that kind of subjectivity in Torah interpretation. We want halacha to follow a uniform standard so that things don't fall apart in society, etc. And that being the case, Ella rather, says Rabbi Shimon, b'stei halavan, in all of the fields other than those that qualify as the stay ilan. The halach is ad ha-pesach, you can till the soil until Pesach, and with stay ha-ilan, if it's qualified stay ha-ilan, an orchard, then ad ha-tzeres, and you have 7 more weeks until Shavuos, and that's that. In case you're wondering, when it came to, just reminding you, when it came to tilling the soil in an orchard, a stay ilan, so there we said that since the you're not planting new things, it's an existing tree that's there, and its roots go deep into the ground, and when you till the topsoil, you're actually stopping the evaporation from happening through the capillary, through the little like little holes, if you will, or pathways in the top of the ground that would allow moisture to get out. So tilling the soil actually locks the moisture in, and therefore is benefit for the fruits on the trees. And since the moisture in the topsoil might be evaporated by Pesach, but when you go deeper in, it's still locked, it's present deeper in underground for longer, the window of opportunity to till the soil, because it benefits the existing trees and fruits on the trees, goes till Atzeres. In any case, halacha l'maisa, I'll remind you one more time before we move on over here. Halacha l'maisa, we don't pasuk any of these mishnayos. These mishnayos are going according to Rabbi Akiva, who held that it's a doraisa based on a pasuk, and that meaning that their obligation for Tosefes Shvius applies in the sixth year in all places in all times, and these are rabbinic enactments to extend it further into the sixth year. However, the Beis Din under Rabbi Gamliel, who was the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who wrote the Mishnah, decided the halach in favor of Rabbi Yishmael, who held that the requirement for Tosefes Shvius is only a, not in based on a pasuk, but rather it's just a halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, and that halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, that tradition we have from Har Sinai, also has a built-in caveat that it only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash standing. Since there's no Beis HaMikdash standing b'zman hazeh, there's no halach of Tosefes Shvius midoraisa 30 days, and certainly not midorabanan further back, and therefore halach l'maisa, one may plow any field, whether it's a stay ilan or stay lavan, the whole of the sixth year up to right till the onset of Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. Shvius, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, 2-2. When it comes to Shvius, although it's a Shabbat of sorts, a rest of sorts for the land, conceptually that which is required to rest and not do on Shvius is very different from the requirements of resting on Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, you know, there's 39 different categories of malachos, creative activities, and those each of those categories have an av, a paradigmatic malacha, and then other, and it's conceptual. That is to say, for example, if the malacha is zuria, so that means it's conceptually facilitating the growth of a plant. And any normal activities that facilitate the growth of a plant, if done in a normal way, would be a violation of the Isra Doraisa of Malacha on Shabbos. And that would include not just, for example, Zeria planting, but also if, for argument's sake, you also do Zemira, you prune, or Hashaka, if you water a plant, etc. Those are all forbidden activities on a Doraisa level that fall under the general heading of Malacha, the category of Zeria. So that's true for all 39 of the malachos. There's one paradigmatic malacha that was used to build or in the function of the Mishkan in the Midbar, of the Mishkan in the desert. And each of those 39 categories are really conceptual in nature, and anything that's locked into them is an equal doraisa. When it comes to Shvius, as we said before, the Psukim in Bahar lists specifically 4 acts that one can't do. That is to say, you can't do Zuria, planting of seeds, Zemira, pruning, Katsira, the reaping of grain, and Betsira, the harvesting of grapes. In addition, perhaps there's an Isra D'Raisa of Harisha of Choresh, which we discussed already up to now. And the Tefer Yisrael brings a mnemonic to remember these 5, which is Chazak Zav. Chazak, Harisha, Zriya, Katsira, and Zav, Zemira, and Betsira. Now, Chazal understood from the fact that the Torah was specific in listing 4 activities one may not do on Shvius, that those 4 categories are not categories at all. They're actually 4 specific acts, and other similar type of acts are not forbidden by the Torah. That is to say, for example, when it comes to Shabbos, we have the Av Malacha, the general category, the parent, the paradigm, which is Zariah. And Zemira prune, Zariah is planting seeds. So Zemira pruning, which is also facilitating the growth of a tree, is not one of the 39 Avos Malacha of the categories, but it slots in as a tolada, as an offspring, as a subcategory of the Av Malach, the general parent of Zariah facilitating plant growth. And that being the case, one is in Shabbos equally liable for Zariah and Zemira for planting or for pruning. Even though one is an Av and one is a Toldo, one is a parent and one is, so to speak, a subcategory like a child. Now, if the Torah wanted to set up a similar system of general principles, general categories, Avos Malachos with Tolados, then it would have said perhaps Zariah, but it wouldn't say both Zariah and Zemira, both planting and pruning, since pruning is just a subcategory of planting. And similarly, it wouldn't have said Katsira, harvesting, which is a verb applicable to grains, like reaping, and Batsira, harvesting, a verb applicable to grapes, picking the grapes. It wouldn't have said that. It would have picked one, if it was going to set up the Av told us type paradigm, it would have picked one harvesting activity, perhaps Katsira, and then you would know Batsira, what's the difference between harvesting grapes and harvesting grains. The fact the Torah didn't do that, but it specified those specific four activities, tells Chazal that it's only those four, and there's no subcategories. And any other thing that resembles those malachos, that resembles those activities of working the fields or the vineyard, they are not prohibited from the Torah. They're not Isra Doraisa. So much so, for example, just to illustrate the point, that many Rishonim understand that being notea, planting a tree, is not an Isra, like a sapling, is not an Isra Doraisa on Shvius, because Natiya is not the same as Zariah, planting a seed. That's a Machlokas Rishonim, but to illustrate the point, that there's an incredibly high degree of specificity of when it comes to the Malachas, the prohibited activities, I should really call them, on Shvius, that one may not do. And that being the case, everything else that one can't do on Shvius in terms of working his fields, watering, fertilizing, and so on, are only Isura Midrabban, are only rabbinically prohibited. And when Chazal considered the halachas of Tosefes Shvius, of adding on restrictions of Shvius into the sixth year, while they did have, we said, extensions when it came to Harisha from plowing, they did not have the rabbinically prohibited activities on Shvius extend into Tosefes Shvius into the sixth year. So the following three Mishnayos are going to list a total of 17 different things that essentially one may do them in the sixth year, even though they're forbidden on the seventh year. So the Mishnah begins, Mezablin u'ma'adrin b'mikshaos u'midla'os ad Rosh Hashanah. A person can do be mezabel. Mezabel is to fertilize. Zevel is dung, so mezabel to apply fertilizer. And ma'adrin is hoeing by hand, as opposed to harisha, which is done by an animal, which is forbidden midoraisa, and therefore pushed back to already be forbidden in the sixth year, to use a hoe by hand as an implement to turn the soil, again, where it benefits the food which is growing now, is permissible, but mikshaos and vmadlaos. So the word kishuim are cucumbers or a type of melon, whatever it is. So these things are growing in the sixth year, and they benefit from the fertilization and the hoeing. And the dalaos, the dalaat is a gourd. So again, same, the gourd is growing the sixth year and benefits from the fertilization and the hoeing. So one could do that ad Rosh Hashanah, until the arrival of Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. Those words mikshaos and midlaos are unusual. One explanation is that it's referring, mikshaos is the plant that produces kishuim, and midlaos is the plant that produces the diluim. Okay, fine. Not only is it applicable to where you're growing these gourds and melons, but also v'chein b'veis ha-shlachin, any irrigated field, beis ha-shlachin, a field that doesn't rely just on rainwater, but also has irrigation. In the time of the Mishnah, that'd be some sort of like conduit from a river, let's say. So then you will have a much longer growth cycle into the summer. You can still grow things because you have water there. And that being the case, the produce was growing into the summer, and therefore one could continue to fertilize and hoe until the summer. Until Rosh Hashanah, the end of the summer, until the beginning of the next year. The Mishnah also continues on to say, Miyablin, Mefarkin, Ma'abkin, and Ma'ashnin ad Rosh Hashanah. And one could do those four things until Rosh Hashanah. What are they? So a yabelet is like a wart or a growth. They could have like an animal, say, even. So miyablin is to remove some sort of growth or a lump or something on the fruit. Mefarkin, so piruk, is like prika, is to unload something. So here, mefarkin is to unload the tree of excess leaves, foliage. So it's, again, quite close to zemira pruning, and which would be a doraisa, but here you're not trimming the whole branch, you're just removing excess weight of foliage, of leaves. Piruk, and that's okay. Ad Rosh Hashanah. Ma'abkin. Avak is dust. So ma'abkin is to apply dust. According to the Bartanura, it's to apply dust to the roots of the plant, keep the moisture in and protect the plant. Ma'ashnin. Ashan is smoke. So ma'ashnin is like fumigation. You're applying smoke here to get rid of the various, you know, parasites, insects, and so worms that are infecting or growing on the plants. So the fumigation gets rid of them. Again, ad Rosh Hashanah, until the advent of Rosh Hashanah. Rishim disagrees. Rishim is lenient, and he says, Af no tel hu es ha'ala mina eshkol b'shvias. He says you can even remove leaves growing from the cluster of fruit, even on the Shemitah year proper. In other words, the Tanakhama, who the Halacha is like, says that you can remove those leaves of being mefarek, of pirka, of removing the excess leaves, only until Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. But Rabbi Shimon holds, since you're protecting the tree, this would protect the tree itself, which is otherwise endangered, and would die because of excess leaves for some reason. I don't know the reason. But that being the case, assuming you're now protecting the existing tree from danger, then you could remove those leaves from the even in the seventh year. But the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon to be sure, so one certainly cannot remove leaves in the seventh year. Shvius, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, 2-3. This is a direct continuation of the previous Mishnah. We continue to list different malachas, activities that you're doing in your field that would be forbidden in the seventh year, but are permitted throughout the entire sixth year, because they're only prohibited in the seventh year, Midrash Rabbanan, and the rabbis didn't extend that prohibition back to the sixth year. The first item on the list here in Mishnah Gimel is Misaklin. Now, to be Misakel, like the word skila, is to cover with stones, pelt with stones. So Misaklin, one might think, means to put stones into his field. However, Misaklin in Hebrew, as so many words in Hebrew are, is what's called in English a contronym. Contronym is a word that means two different opposite things, and that's the case with Misaklin. It means both to put rocks down and remove rocks from. We're talking about removing rocks from one's field. English has other contronyms too. Like, for example, in English, you could say the word dust. So the word dust could mean to remove the small bits and small particles from the surface. You dust the table. But it also could mean to apply small bits and particles. Like, for example, you dust the sugar onto the cake. So the same kind of thing is going on here in Hebrew. Misaklin means to remove the stones from a field. Ad Rosh Hashanah, until the Rosh Hashanah comes in of the seventh year. And also, Mekarsimin, Mizardin, and Mefaslin at Rosh Hashanah. One can do all these three pruning type activities on the sixth year to trees. Perhaps, and this is the simplest explanation, we'll not all agree to it, but we'll simply say that the prohibition from the Torah on the seventh year is Zemira, it's pruning, and it's so specific, it refers specifically to pruning of grapevines, but not pruning of other kinds of trees. And this kind of pruning would be derabanan, because other kinds of pruning, other kinds of trees. Not all agree to that shot, but just let's stick to that for now, because it makes the point. What are these three different activities? So according to the Bar Tanura, Makarsimin is essentially the same thing as pruning. That is to say, you are removing extra branches that have dried out on the tree. So it's pruning to remove the sort of dead branches. Mizardin is removing excess branches that are still moist, that haven't dried out. Another kind of pruning, if you will. And mefaslin, from the word, like psolet, is waste. So mefaslin is to remove other kinds of debris that's growing on in around the tree, maybe removed throughout the sixth year, until Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Shua Omer, kezeruda u chifislua shel chamishas kach shel shishas. Rabbi Yeshua says something that's quite ambiguous, and it can have two interpretations. It literally, the words mean as you, I'll translate loosely, as you prune, etc., of the fifth year, so to the sixth year. So the way the bartender learns it, this is actually a kula, that Rabbi Yeshua is being lenient, and is saying the same way, let's say dead branches, for argument's sake, like that grew in the fifth year, you remove them in this, they grew in the fifth year, but you remove them in the beginning of the sixth year. So too, branches that were excess that grew in the sixth year, you could remove even in the seventh year in Shvius. Don't forget that the branches themselves don't have Kedusha Shvius, they don't have the sanctity of Shemitah fruit, because they're not fruit, they're just branches. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, to cut them away, if it's still the part of the season where one does prune, it doesn't look strange. So just for argument's sake, if at the end of this, you know, one would normally prune his trees so that to stimulate future growth in the springtime when the fruits are growing on the trees. So you might prune, let's say, for argument's sake, if the last chance people would normally prune is, let's say, Hanukkah time, even though, so then what happens is last year's growth, you prune up to Hanukkah of this year. So if that's the case, so Rabbi Yeshua is saying the excess branches and psoles that got ruining the trees in the sixth year until Hanukkah of the seventh year, since that's, let's hypothetically say, the normal time when one, up to when one removes that stuff, so one may remove it up to Hanukkah even on the seventh year. That's a kula, according to Rabbi Yeshua. That's how the bartender learns. According to the Rambam, in the Parish Mishnah, actually Rabbi Yeshua is going lechumrah, and he's saying, since, for argument's sake, one finishes the pruning by Hanukkah, let's say, so then he, the Rambam, the Parish Mishnayos, understands that Rabbi Yeshua was going lechumrah and saying, you only can do the pruning and removing of the debris, etc., in the sixth year, up until the normal time when one finishes that job, which, let's say, hypothetically, is Hanukkah time, way early in the year. But beyond that, it looks suspicious, like you're doing prep for the seventh year, and would be forbidden. So it's a chumrah, according to the Rambam, and fine, that's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. And there's a third Shita, Rabbi Shimon Omer, calls manchani Rishai Bavoda Sa'ilan, Rishai Ani Bepisulo. Rabbi Shimon says, he's also in a stringency. Rabbi Shimon saying the same way one can't, after Atzeres Shfuas, do plowing around the trees, so too, he says one can't do pruning, etc., in the sixth year, after Atzeres, after the Shavuos holiday, but the halacha is like the Tanakama, which is that one may do all these activities throughout the entire sixth year up to Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah year. Shvius, Perik Beis, Mishnah Dalet, 2-4. This is the third and final in the series of listing of things that one may do in the sixth year, although they're forbidden in the seventh year, Midrabanan, and one can do it all the way until Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. The Mishnah says, Mezamin etzenatios. Zuama is something that is filthy or polluting. So mezamin is a verb. It's something along the lines of to apply something disgusting to natios, to saplings. So two pshat from the Bartanura brings, either it means that you have a sapling whose like bark had peeled off, and therefore to get like an artificial skin, you apply some animal dung. And since animal dung is disgusting, hence the mezamin. The other pshat is that one applies something sort of stinky and disgusting to the tree to get rid of some sort of pest that's on it, you know, like some sort of insect infestation or something. V'korchen osan, you also can wrap. Korech is to wrap. You can wrap them, meaning you can wrap netios, trees. To pshat them here, either it means to sort of cover them, wrap them up, something to protect them from the heat and direct sunlight in the summer and the cold in the winter. The other pshat is, because they're, you know, small and fledgling, the teos need protection. The other pshat is that korech is to wrap up. Like if the branches are drooping down and they're going to grow towards the ground, you want to pull them up. So you kind of bind them upwards that they grow in the right direction upwards. Second pshat in korech minosan. And the kot minosan, you can also be kotem them, the teos. So two pshat them here. Either kitma means like ashes, like for example in Shabbos, you talk about grufa uktuma, that the oven should be garuf, raked, or katum, have ashes spread upon it. So that would be spreading ashes on the natiya, on the sapling. The other pshat, for those who think that's the exact same thing as we just said two mishnayos ago, that about ma'avkin, applying dust, that would be the same thing. So second pshat in kotman would be, in sukkis, when you have the lachas of the arbaminim. So if your lulav or your hados, whatever it is niktam rosho, if it's niktam, is like the top is clipped off. So kotman osan would mean to clip off the ends of the branches of the sapling to stimulate the sap to go there. Va'osnem babatim, and you can also make for them batim. A batim is like literally houses, so it means make houses for them. And the bartender gives that as a second shot to make sort of like a sukkah to protect the sapling from the sun. But the first try he brings is when puts like a fence perimeter around the saplings. It's just like, say, an amahai, and then he fills that enclosed area with soil to sort of give a more firm home, if you will, in the ground to the sapling. That's the first shot he gives. And also umashkinosan, and one can water them at Rosh Hashanah. You can apply, water the trunks of these saplings up until Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Lezer Bar Tzadok is makel, and he says, af mashkehen es a nof b'shvias. You could even water these saplings on shvias proper, provided that you water them not at the trunk, which is normal, but rather on the nof, on the branches. Avalo es a ikar, you can't apply water directly to the trunk of the trees, because those, that would be the normal way, and that's, usher on Shemitah, the Durbanan. But the halach is not like him. He thought, since it's a shinoi, it's a strain, it's not the normal way of watering a sapling, and indeed they're sensitive and need it, you're sort of protecting it, so it would be permissible. But the halach is like the Tanakama, which is no watering even on the branches come the seventh year proper Shemitah. Shvius, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hey, 2-5. Our Mishnah continues discussing the halachas of Tosefa Shvius, extensions of Shvius into the sixth year and the eighth year, and it addresses two specific questions. The first question is one permitted to do a specific act of smearing oil onto unripe fruit to stimulate the fruit to become ripe sooner if that fruit won't be actually picked and ready until the Shemitah year? May one still do that? That's the first issue it's discussing. And the second issue it's discussing, essentially unrelated, is in the eighth year, in Moti Shvius, so may a tree that still has fruit on it, and that fruit has Kedusha Shvius, has the sanctity of Shvius, since the fruit blossomed in the seventh year and belongs to the Shemitah year. Now that we're in the eighth year, may one do work to the tree, even though it's still laden with the fruit? Okay, the Mishnah starts like this. Sachin es ha-pagim u'menakven osan ad Rosh Hashanah. Tanakama holds one may apply oil, sicha, to smear with oil. One may apply oil to pagim. Pagim means unripe fruits, sometimes specifically unripe figs, but here it's just any unripe fruit. Or you could puncture them, take a little like a needle and you puncture it into the fruit, either with the oil or just so water will get inside, and that will stimulate the fruit to ripen quicker. That's permitted in the sixth year, ad Rosh Hashanah, all the way until Rosh Hashanah. That's Tanakama. Pagi er shvius, shenichnasu l'shvius, if you have fruit that is unripe in the sixth year, but it is going to not be ready to be eaten until the seventh year. Or v'shel shvius, if you have seventh year fruit, sheyatsu l'moti shvius, which are now on the tree in the eighth year, lo sachin v'lo menachnosan. In that case, in those two cases, Tanakama holds, one may not anoint with oil, nor may one puncture those fruits. So those are two separate issues. On the sixth year, says the Tanakama, you can't apply oil or puncture the fruit to promote it to be ripe sooner if it won't ripen until Shemitah year. Essentially, that's because the Tanakama you hold that it just looks inappropriate for whatever reason to be doing that, doing work of fruit that will be taken and eaten in the seventh year, even though it won't have Kedusha Shvius. And the second point Tanakama makes here is that in the eighth year, fruit that had grown in the seventh year with Kedusha Shvius, one may not mess with those fruits, putting oil or puncturing them in the eighth year, since they have Kedusha Shvias, one has to leave them be. Implicit in the words of the Tanakhama, though not addressed explicitly yet, is that while the tree is still laden with fruit from the Shemitah year, and since that fruit has Kedusha Shvias, even in the eighth year, one may not do work to that particular tree until the fruit that has Kedusha Shvias, the sanctity of the seventh year, those fruits are removed from the tree. That's Tanakhama Shita, and that will be the halacha. But we're going to have people arguing on both halachas regarding the sixth and the eighth year. So first we have, with regard to the halacha of the sixth year, of doing work on fruit that will only be ripened in the seventh year, Tanakhama, so that's disallowed. Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Makam Shenagul Asuch, he agrees that in a place, in a locale, where the custom is to indeed smear oil onto fruit to ripen them, then Einan Sachim, then one may not apply that oil in the sixth year if the fruit won't be ready to be eaten until the seventh year. He disallows that, like the Tanakhama, B'nei Shiavoda, because that is considered to be a work, and it is deemed inappropriate to do work on these fruits for whatever reason, if they're not going to be eaten until the seventh year, the Shemitah year. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, and he's makel over here, he's lenient, Makam Shnagu Shlo Lasuch, if it's a place where there's no such custom to do this anointing of oil, so then it's not looked at as strange, and if you are doing it in the sixth year, and fruits that will be eaten in the seventh year, and picked up the tree in the seventh year, so be it, not a problem, says Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha is not like him, however. The second point is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree with the Tanakhama regarding the halachas of what is applicable in the eighth year, once one can work his field and trees again, if the eighth year tree has seventh year fruit still on it. So Rabbi Shimon says, once the eighth year comes, you can do whatever you want. Rabbi Shimon Matir Be'ilan, he says you can do whatever work you want on the tree, including putting oil on the figs that were there from the seventh year. Because once the eighth year arrives, work on the tree in the eighth year is permissible. Even though there is seventh year fruit, and the seventh year fruit has Kedusha Shvias, it doesn't matter, you can still do work to the tree. However, the Tanakhama holds, no, so long as the fruit is still on the tree, one may not do anything in the eighth year. Now, for both those cases, the Bartanura says, like the Rambam and the Perish Mishnayos, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the halacha is like the Tanakhama. However, the Chazon Ish is actually makel in the eighth year category. So that means that when it comes to sixth year produce, if you happen to be the kind of person who anoints fruit that's unripe, and that's permissible, but make sure that the fruit will be edible in the sixth year still. That's the halacha. But in the eighth year, the halacha is lamais lamaisa. One may do work to a tree in the eighth year, even if it has fruits still on that, seventh year fruits still on that tree. Bias, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, 2:6. The Mishnah continued to discuss the halachas of Tosef Shvias, the laws that apply in the sixth year of the cycle, prior to the Shemitah year. And here we're discussing the question of planting trees in the sixth year. Now, we'll have to learn the Mishnah twice, once according to the Bartanura, and a second time according to Rabbeinu Tam, and perhaps the Rambam, and the halacha. So, according to the Bartanura, the act of planting a tree, like a sapling, or something similar to that, which is called netiyah, is halachically equivalent to the psukim that disallow zuria, the planting of seeds, in the Shemitah year. In other words, the Bartanura holds that planting a tree is an iser medoraisa on Shvias, just like planting anything else is. And that being the case, we know that the halachas of Tosefa Shvias push the prohibitions back to 30 days before the end of the sixth year. So that means just as one may not plant seeds, or plow for that matter, in the last 30 days of the sixth year, Midoraisa, so too, one may not plant trees or do similar types of activities to propagate trees in the sixth year within 30 days, and that'll be an Isser Doraisa. Now, in addition to that, one must make sure that a tree doesn't take root or take hold in the ground or whatever different case we'll see in a minute in the Mishnah, in that 30-day period. And there's an amount of time it takes between when you put the new sapling in the ground, when you graft a tree, etc., and the time it takes to take root, take hold, and that takes some time. So this Mishnah, according to the Bartanura, is pushing the time when one may plant a sapling or do similar types of activities even further back than the 30 days before the end of the sixth year, because they need to give enough time for the tree to take root or take hold in where it's been planted into. So that means we're going to have three shitas here. One shita will be first shita. It takes 30 days for the tree to take root. The second shita will say it takes 3 days for it to take root. And the third shita says it takes 2 weeks, 14 days to take root. So it's going to come out then that according to those three shitas, you'll have to push back your tree planting, not just 30 days, which is the derisa requirement, meaning Rosh Chodesh Elul, a month before the end of the sixth year, but you'll have to push it back 30 days before that, or 3 days before that, or 14 days before that, depending on the shita, so that it will take root or take hold prior to the beginning of the 30-day window, which is the derisa requirement of Tosefes Shvius. That's what the Bartanura learns, and therefore the words of the Mishnah will read as follows. I'll read them to you. A notin, one may not be notea, that's to plant a sapling. Just to make it clear, there's a specific word in Hebrew, notea, which is for tree planting, as opposed to zorea, which is seed planting, like for other types of smaller plants. So, ein notin, and you also, ve'ein mavrichen, havracha, we saw in Maseches Kilayim, that was the way to propagate grapevines by taking the vine and putting it underground, and then training underground and pulling it up at a distance back above the ground. And what happens is, where you pulled it up above ground a distance from the initial trunk, a new trunk will grow. It'll take root over there, a new trunk will grow. And ultimately, once it's taken root, you could cut the original vine that connected the original mommy vine, we'll call it, to the baby vine. And the baby vine will grow a whole new trunk with roots and be like a new grapevine altogether. It's called Havracha. And one may not do that either. And the Ein Markivin, Harkava, is grafting. That's where you take an existing rootstock, like a plant that's in the ground, and you cut off the top of the tree, leaving sort of like, that's the simplest case, would be like leaving a wedge, meaning like a kind of like a V-shaped wedge, a concave wedge. And then you take another tree and you cut off its, the top half of it, the scion is called, like the top of the tree or branch. And then you make also like a V shape, but here it's like, you know, it's convex. And then you stick the top of the scion into the bottom of the rootstock and connect them together. It's called grafting, and they'll merge. They'll merge into a single tree, which has properties. The merged grafted tree will have properties of both the two, you know, the rootstock and the scion together. So that one may also not do. That's called Harkava and Ein Markivin, Erev Shvius, in the sixth year. Even within 30 days, Pachas Meshloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, within the 30 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the way the Bartanura reads these words, although it's hard to see how he reads the word this way, but based on Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, he does read these words that we're talking about the 30 days before the 30 days of the end of the year. So Tanna Kamma holds it's 30 days before the end of the year, plus 30 days more, for a total of 60 days prior to the end of the sixth year in the Shemitah cycle. That will be the deadline for one to do netia, planting a sapling, or havracha, propagating grapevines, or harkava, grafting trees one onto the other. The deadline is 60 days, 30 plus 30, for the end of the sixth year. That's the first shita. Vimnata, o hivrich, o hirkiv, and if you do plant the sapling, or propagate the grapevine, like I described, or graft one tree to another tree, Yaakor, you must rip it out of the ground because it's going to take root on Shemitah and now be Asr. That's the first Shita. The second Shita is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds, he says, Omer, kol harkava she'eno koletes l'shlosha yamim. Anytime you graft trees together, if the graft doesn't take within 3 days, shuv eno koletes, it's never going to take. And that being the case, he learns that this applies similarly to the lachas and natia and arkava and havracha ostensibly, meaning that he holds it takes 3 days for it to take root. So then means the deadline for doing your Netia, or your Havracha, or your Harkava, all is 30 plus 3, 33 days before the end of the sixth year. And the third Shita is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and they hold Omrim Shtei Shabbosos. They say, no, it doesn't take 30 days, and it doesn't take 3 days. It takes 2 weeks, meaning 14 days. And the halacha is going to follow like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, meaning the magic number is not 3 or 30, but rather 14 days. Fine. That's the bartender learns it, and that's simple, which means the halacha lemaisa, according to the bartender, would be that you have to wait, you have to plant your tree or graft your tree or propagate your grapevine no later than 30 plus 14 days, meaning 40, you'd have to do 45 days to be eligible. It had to be 45 days because 44 is too close. 45 days before the end of the year, meaning Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, would give you enough time. Now, Rabbeinu Tam learns this Mishnah, and ostensibly the Rambam does also, ostensibly, that he learns in general that Netia, planting a tree sapling, is not an Issur D'oraisa even on the Shemitah year, which is probably quite surprising to you. He holds that, as we described in previous Mishnayos of this Perek, the Psukim are very specific, and it's only Zuria as well as Zemira, Etzira, and Katsira that are forbidden by the Torah, and everything else is Durabanan. And Zuria planting seeds is not the same as Netia planting a sapling, or for that matter, Havracha and Harkava, propagating grapevines and grafting trees. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that planting a sapling is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, even on Shvius proper, on the Shemitah year. And that being the case, there's no reason, as we've seen throughout the whole parak here, to extend rabbinic prohibitions into the sixth year for doing Netia or Havracha or Harkava. That being the case, this Mishnah is coming to tell us a new Din D'Rabbanan, which says you have to, like the Bartanura, that you have to make sure that your tree that you've planted or propagated in grapevine context or grafted, you have to make sure that it takes root or takes hold prior to the onset of Shemitah on Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. How long do you need to give it? You have three Shitas, 30 days, 3 days, or 14 days. And Allah will be like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, that it takes 14 days, meaning according to Rabbeinu Tam, the deadline for doing Netia, Havracha, or Harkava will be 14 days before Rosh Hashanah, or the 15th day of Elul. And that will be the halacha l'maisa, that you may plant trees, or graft them, or propagate them for that matter, up until the 15 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. But 14 days would be too late, because it will take root potentially on the Shemitah year. Just as a really practical halacha l'maisa, when one transplants a sapling, typically what he does is he takes it with the roots still in the soil, and you take the soil like in a plastic bag, connect it to the roots, and you transplant, you transplant the sapling with its roots still enmeshed in a large clod of soil, and you put that whole clod of soil into the new ground from the nursery into your garden, wherever you're planting the tree. And on such a case, we actually hold that that isn't a new planting, it's already taken root, and under those conditions, you actually could transplant from the nursery to your backyard in the sixth year, even the day before Rosh Hashanah, because no new klita, no new taking hold in the ground is required. It's already taken the ground. Shvius, Perek Beis, Mishnah Zion, 2-7. The previous Mishnah had talked about the amount of time it takes for a plant to take root in the ground. We had different shitas, 3 days, 30 days, 2 weeks. We said the halacha is that it's 2 weeks, 14 days. And be that as it may, whatever the amount of time it takes to take root, our Mishnah here will talk about four particular types of produce that their halachic status depends upon when they take root. Now, that's unusual in as much as the relevant time for other types of produce is other stages of their development. That is to say, if we want to decide what year a fruit belongs to or a vegetable belongs to, so there are different criteria, and has all the difference in the world, because when it comes to, say, tithing, one must tithe fruit with other fruit of its similar year. And similarly, you'll recall that, for example, in the 7-year Shemitah cycle, so years 1, 2, 4, and 5, the proper second tithe is Maaser Sheni, whereas in year 3 and 6, after Maaser Rishon comes Maaser Ani, the tithe for the poor, and so on. So the question arises how to determine which year a particular fruit or vegetable belongs to. The rule is, when it comes to fruits, in general, the rule is it goes after the chanata of the fruit. Now, chanata defies English translation, but the idea is it's when a flower gets fertilized, so then in the depths of the bottom of the flower is where the fruit will grow. What happens is eventually the leaves fall off, the petals fall off, I should say, of the flower. And then at the base of the flower, where it used to be, will start to grow a small little fruit, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So chanata either means when those petals fall off and there's like little tiny, tiny vestigial fruit growing at the base there, or it can mean a little later on at the time of Onos HaMaisris. We'll see more about that in Maseches Maisris Bez Hashem. But the point is, it's when the fruit is very, very small, like just, beginning to emerge. That's called chanata, and the year to which a fruit belongs is when that chanata occurs. When it comes to vegetables, so we basically go at the time that the vegetable is picked. Let us say we don't look at when the cucumber started growing. We look at when you harvested the cucumber. And if you harvested it before Rosh Hashanah, it belongs to the previous year. If you harvested it after Rosh Hashanah, it belongs to the current year. That assumes, of course, that when we do the harvesting, the fruit is not far past its fully ripened stage. If a fruit fully ripened, then it's ready to be picked before Rosh Hashanah. If you just ignore it and wait till after Rosh Hashanah, then it could be really belongs to the previous year. But in general, the rule is that the vintage, the year to which a vegetable belongs, is the time that you are of lakita, the time of harvesting of that particular vegetable. So we have chanata for fruits and lakita, time of harvesting, picking for vegetables. There's another category for the types of foods that you cultivate for their seeds, which could either be tavua, grains, like wheat and barley, etc., or what are called kitnios. Again, that's other kind of plants other than grasses, cereals that are grown for their seeds, their grains. So that means all kinds of seeds, legumes, pulses, peas, beans, etc. All of those, as well as olives, for whatever reason, those go after 1/3 of being fully grown. So once they reach 1/3 of their growth, that's when they've now reached the stage that defines which year they belong to. How to define 1/3 of the growth, we'll discuss later on in a different Mishnah. Not now. So that's basically the gist of it, that the possibilities are chanata for fruits, the falling off of the petals, or the onos hamaisris, the small fruit appearing. Lakita, the time of picking, once it's fully ripened, for vegetables. And then 1/3 of its growth when it comes to olives, grain, and kidneys, legumes, etc. There is, however, in our Mishnah, another category, a fourth category. And that category has to do with when it takes a root. That's what we're mentioning over here. So the Mishnah will say that these four particular types of produce, the time, the year to which they belong, depends upon when they took root in the ground, as opposed to when they're picked or when they became ripe, etc. Now, the reason why these four are exceptional is because they don't necessarily ripen at the same time. So what could happen is you could have from one crop of, let's say, rice, the first is rice. So it could be that the rice, half of your rice crop will belong to the previous year and half of your rice crop will belong to the current year. And that'll be, possibly confusing, very difficult in terms of what to tithe on what, etc. And to avoid that, it's been set up that the year to which the rice will belong is when that rice took root in the ground, says our Mishnah. So that'll have some significant nafkaminas, like all these things do, in the regular 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, to do with which tithe you give and which year each of these produce belong to, because you can only tithe a given year's produce with the same year can't tithe even for truma, let's say, second year and third year produce together. And when it comes to Shemitah, it'll have nafka minas in terms of if the fruit has kedusha shvias or not. And also very relevantly, and it'll be kind of a focus of our Mishnah here, there's a rule, which we mentioned before, but now we come to it, you know, again here, of svichen. So svichen means, svichen are plants that grew by themselves. They weren't intentionally planted, but if you're, you know, harvesting your, if you know, that's to say, for example, you have a wheat field, you have to plant the wheat every year, wheat kernels in the ground, and after that, wheat grass will grow, and then the wheat stalks will grow, and then you'll harvest the ears of wheat, and, you know, after that, your field will be empty. After you harvest it and do the ingathering, it'll be an empty field, nothing there anymore. You just have like the stubble at the bottom that you cut, that you didn't cut, like, you know, grass that goes brown and dies. That's it. Then it'll be empty. And if you don't plant again the next year, essentially your field will be empty. Nothing will grow because you've taken all of the grain away. But of course, when you do harvest, a few kernels will drop and fall and go here and there. There's wind, there's birds, and so on and so forth. So what'll happen is, even if you don't intentionally plant a wheat field, a few stalks of wheat will grow here and there by just natural causes, not because you planted it, but because it grew by itself. And that's called svichen. Svichen are plants that grew by themselves without someone intentionally planting them. So the Torah permits svichen, that is to say, in the seventh year, if stuff grows by itself and one's planted illegally, one is allowed to eat it. It's just part of the kedusha shvias, it's shmita produce, but it can't be wasted, and you can't treat it like normal commercial produce, etc. But it's mutter to eat. However, the rabbis forbade svichen across the board, and they said, listen, people are just, their observation was, in their time, people were cheating willy-nilly. They kept on breaking Shemitah. They would basically plant stuff and then say, oh, we didn't plant it, it's just svichen, it came by itself. And basically, there was this widespread Shemitah desecration. And for that reason, the rabbi said, forget it, no svichen at all. We're not allowing any kinds of foods that grow, you know, just this year to be eaten. That is in contrast to, let's say, fruit that grows on trees. Obviously, you can't plant a pear seed and get a pear out that in the same year of Shemitah, so the pear tree would have existed long before Shemitah came in. And that being the case, there's no such restriction on svichen for things like fruits that grow on trees or other kinds of fruits that are just not cultivated at all. They grow wild in general. Just in the bushes, you know. But cultivated produce is all forbidden in the seventh year. So here we're going to focus and we're going to say, when is the rice, etc., going to be forbidden under the rules of Svichen? So the answer is going to be, says the Mishnah, if the rice took root before Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, so it belongs to the sixth year, and it doesn't have Kedusha Shvias and doesn't have the restrictions of Svichen. If the rice took root after Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, it has Kedusha Shvias, it's got the Isser Svichen, the prohibition against it, and all that kind of rice from the seventh year will be forbidden to be consumed, and have Kedusha Shvias, etc. So that's the thrust of our Mishnah. Let's see inside now. Mishnah says, these four types of plants, Ha'orez is rice, Halacha recognizes Orez as rice, and the Dochan is millet. Millet, a widely consumed grain in the world, but not too much where Jews live, but certainly there's who knows how many countless tons of millet consumed every year by human beings elsewhere. Vapragin. So pragin in modern Hebrew, pereg is poppy, as poppy seeds. And many learn that this is also indeed that pereg, that poppy seed. It's very possible, not very possible, that it's actually sorghum. Sorghum, also a massive crop in Africa and so. Even southern United States, sorghum, who knows how many hundreds of millions, probably of tons of sorghum is consumed every year and worldwide for humans. But we are not in our diets in Israel or America so much, where Jews are. Be that as it may, so pragum, let's translate as poppy, but very possibly it could be sorghum. But shumshum is sesame seeds. So with those four things, rice, millet, poppy, or maybe sorghum, and sesame seeds. Shish rishu, if when they take root, is lifnei Rosh Hashanah, is prior to Rosh Hashanah. Misasrin lishavar, so the year according to which they are tithed is the previous year, before Rosh Hashanah year. Umutarim b'shvias, and if that year was the sixth year, so then even though they just took root in the end of the sixth year, and they grow more properly in the seventh year, you can harvest that rice or sesame seeds, etc., in the seventh year and eat it. It doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas, it took root back in the sixth year. V'im lav, if it didn't take root until after Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, so then asurin b'shviyas, then it's forbidden on Shviyas under the restrictions of Svichen. U'mis'asin l'shana haba, and it will be tithed on according to the following year, meaning if, for argument's sake, it took root after Rosh Hashanah, then it belongs to that subsequent year, even if it's not Shemitah, like in the fourth year. Let's say if fourth year is after Rosh Hashanah, it belongs to the fourth year if it took root in the fourth year. Fine. That's our Mishnah. And there's no other opinion brought here. However, it's worthy of note that the Rambam paskins based on a Tosefta that, not like our Mishnah, and the Rambam l'chor is the halacha l'maisa. So the Rambam paskins, when it comes to these four types of produce, the rice, the millet, sorghum or poppy, and sesame, that the year to which these belong is not when they take root, despite our Mishnah, but rather the year when they finish their growing and they become, you know, fully ripened. And that's the Rambam Paskins. Maseches Shviyas, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches, 2:8. The previous Mishnah had said there were certain types of produce where it's their vintage, the year to which they belong in terms of Shemitah and other tithing, depended upon when they took root. Specifically, we had orez, rice, dochen, millet, pragin, which is poppy seeds, or maybe sorghum, and shumshamin, which are sesame seeds. That was a list of four. Here in Mishnah Ches, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri adds, he says, Fol HaMitzri, the Pol HaMitzri, the Egyptian bean, Shizaro Lazera B'tchila, provided that when you planted that bean, you had intention to eat the seeds, like the actual beans themselves, as opposed to the pods in which they grow. So then, Kiyotz Behen, those Egyptian beans planted to eat the actual beans, have the same status as the four from the previous Mishnah. Meaning, if you plant an Egyptian bean and you intend to not eat the greens as animal food or human food, but you want the seeds themselves for planting, according to Bartanura, those seeds, or for eating, according to others, in that case, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says that the Egyptian bean is a fifth item on the list of produce, which is peculiar in as much as its year is the year in which it took root. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Afunin ha-gamlunin. When it comes to these gamlunin, afunin are beans. Gamlunin means, it literally means large beans. Gamal is like a big animal, like large beans. But it doesn't mean generic large beans. It means some particular type of bean called the gamlunin bean. So those beans, keotaben, they are also like them, meaning the Afunin ha-gamlunin beans are like the Pul ha-mitzri beans. That is to say, if when you planted your Afunin ha-gamlunin, you planted them with the intention that you were going to eat the beans, the actual beans, the seeds inside these Afunin, and not the beans, the green part itself, what things inside. So then they also are going to go the vintage, the year to which they belong, in terms of Shemitah and tithing, depends on when the Afunin ha-galunin took root. Rabbi Elazar Omer, when it comes to Afunin ha-galunin, when it comes to those, he says it's true that if you plant them for the beans, then they go after the year they took root, provided that Mishitarmalu lifnei Rosh Hashanah. The time in which their pods, in which the little beans grow, hardened up to make like firm, solid pods, as long as those pods were firmed up prior to Rosh Hashanah, then indeed taking root plus planting for the sake of the seed plus having the pod hardening before Rosh Hashanah would make it that these beans are going to go after the year, the prior year. Meaning, just to make it clear, when it comes to both these Pul HaMitzri, the Egyptian beans, and the Funa Gamlunin, the large beans, if you plant them for the sake of eating the pod, the vegetable, then it would go like any other vegetable, and it would be based on when you do the lakita, the picking of the vegetable, not when they took root. So now, just to clarify, halacha l'maisa, it's going to turn out then that it's not quite like how this Mishnah lays out at all. Halacha l'maisa, if you recall, I said in the previous Mishnah that when it comes to tavua, grains, and kitnios, beans, legumes, things that you plant to eat the seeds of them, then it goes after when they have a third of their growth. Whereas if you plant something, a yerek, a vegetable for eating the vegetable, then it goes after when you pick it, the lakita, when it became ripe and then ready for picking, and you pick it then. So when you plant, you know, peas and beans, sometimes you're planting them to eat just the seed, the inside. And sometimes you're eating to eat the pod. And maybe, you know, you don't, when you have green beans, you're looking for the pod, as opposed to when you plant, let's say, soybeans, you're looking for the bean inside, not the pod. So if you're planting it for eating with the pod, then it'll be like a vegetable, halacha l'maaseh, and it will go after when you pick it. If you're eating it dafka for the bean inside, it will be kitnius and will go after when it's 1/3 of its ripeness. That's when it's when it hits 1/3 of ripeness. If that's before Rosh Hashanah, it belongs to the previous year, and if not, to the subsequent year.